On our teaching titled The Blessing of Honor. We've been doing this for the past 8 weeks, and today we're doing our ninth part around this topic of honor. It is so integral to what we do. It's so key to our walk with the Lord. And this morning, we are doing part 9 of The Blessing of Honor. I don't know about you, but it has really ministered to me. It has been a blessing as I prepare and the Lord ministering to me and coming through to share this word with you. And I hope the same is true with you. Amen. Come on now, speak to me. All right, I'm sure you'll get there. All right. So today, I just want to continue on my third session around honor at home. So we covered honor at home as it relates to children towards their parents. That was the first part of this part of honor at home. And then the second week, we covered honor as it relates to parents towards their children. And today, I want to do the last part of honor in the home, and I want to expand this topic and deal with this last aspect of honor in the home. I want to talk to you this morning on honor between husband and wife. Okay? Honor between husband and wife. How does this play out? And I'm hoping that we've got people watching online. And I want to welcome you guys who are watching online this morning. And may the Lord bless you. Now, honor between husband and wife. A lot of marriages have been a nightmare, because honor between the spouses has been ignored or is lacking. Okay? A lot of marriages are nightmares, literally, because there hasn't been honor between husband and wife. And I want you to know that honor is one of the major elements that will keep a marriage alive, even as we are about to discover. So honor is one of the major elements that will keep a marriage alive. And this morning, I'm believing and trusting God that if you are married, this word is going to encourage you, is going to strengthen your marriage. And one day, if you are not married, hoping one day you'll get married, it will prepare you for a great marriage. Now, I want you to realize this morning, you can put this down, that a marriage can be the closest thing to hell or the closest thing to heaven. Your marriage can be the closest thing to hell or the closest thing to heaven, and honor makes the difference. Marriage is awesome. It's great. It's beautiful. But if marriage is not done correctly, it can be the last thing that you want to be part of. There are many people that have seen marriage not working, and children have made internal vows in their hearts saying, I will never get married. Why? Because they've seen how horrific their mom and dad have been on each other's throat. And they made a vow in their heart saying, no, if this is how life is going to be when I am married, I would rather not get married. That is one side of this coin. The other side is, a young boy sees how his dad loves his mom, how they cuddle, how they talk to each other. And this young boy says, you know what, I want to get married. I've heard it so many times from my son who says, Dad, I want to get married. And when I get married, I want to have 4 kids. He's a 9-year-old boy. And that's Andrew's dream. He wants to have, there was a time where he wanted a big family, but now, like, I think 4 will do. And Dad, this is how I'm going to treat my wife. And I'm looking at this 9-year-old boy. I'm like, what do you understand about marriage? But all he's seeing is what's happening between his mom and dad. And this morning, I want you to realize that the way you manage your marriage has a huge impact on the little ones. They are seeing it, and they're putting notes down. And they're thinking about how they're going to do life when they get to that stage one day. Again, let me remind you of what honor is, the definition of honor. We said to honor is to value. It is to esteem, to respect, to treat favorably, and to have high regard for. Now, in the context of mom and dad, husband and wife, honor is to value your spouse. It is to esteem her. It is to respect her, to treat her favorably, to put her on top of the pedestal, above everybody else, above any other guy at work, above any other woman at work. You know what? The devil wants you to think there's something better out there. You've had a difficult moment in your marriage. The enemy wants you to start thinking there is a better person out there. She is not my soulmate. Then I'm going on a search for my soulmate. Let me tell you something. The day that you said, yes, I do, at that moment, that person became your soulmate. That become your perfect, your Mr. Right, your Mrs. Right. Hallelujah. And you better work on it. You better work on your garden. Stop looking over other people's gardens. Like, that garden looks green, looks lush. They are working on it. Work on your garden. Glory be to God. Now, let me say that marriage was designed by God, and it is a God idea. It was designed by God, and it is a God idea. Now, there are no perfect marriages, but the idea of marriage is perfect. It doesn't matter how great two people are, you will never find a perfect marriage. I am married going 16 years this year. I've heard, hallelujah, clap your hands to the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Yes, 16 years. On the 6th of December, we're marking 16 years of marriage. And I'm grateful to the Lord. And I want to say to you, in those 16 years, it has been a roller coaster. It has been up and down, up and down. But I have a commitment to my wife that whatever happens, I'll stick it out. Glory be to God. We will work it out. Glory be to God. If anyone is to leave, it's not me, it's you. You know what I mean? In other words, she has the same attitude. And therefore, nobody leaves. Glory be to God. It's not a perfect union, but it's a blessed union. You are not a perfect child of God, but you are a blessed child of God. God is not looking for perfection. The Lord is looking for humility, brokenness of heart, where you're always able to come back. That's what it is. Now, in the account of creation, everything that God made was good. And after he made the animals and the trees, the Lord looked and said, this is good. He made the fish. He made the birds of the air. And he said, this is good. He made the garden. He says, this is good. Everything was good until he looked at a certain situation. And he said, something is not good. All was good until God looked at Adam and saw that something was out of place. Adam did not find an equal partner amongst the lions, amongst the deers, no matter how great they were. He started naming them. They were all looking cute and nice, but he never found an equal in any of those created items. And then the Bible says, and the Lord in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God also said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make for him a suitable helper. It is not good for a man to be alone unless the Lord has called you into celibacy, unless the Lord has called you into that life where you are not to get married in order to fully devote yourself to the service of the Lord. There are people who have that calling. But if you have a desire in your heart, if you have an aspiration to be married, to have a child, to be in a family, the Lord said it is not good for you to be alone. Glory be to God. If you don't have that calling, it is not going to be good for you to be alone. But if you have that calling, it is okay. Praise the Lord. The Lord has a way to ensure that your needs are met. In other words, life was only going to be good as soon as Adam had an equal part. Until Adam found somebody whom he can commune with at the same level. Proverbs 19 verse 14, the Bible says, houses and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Hallelujah. We don't play pinky, pinky pong when it comes to choosing partners. The Bible says a prudent wife, a good wife, comes from the Lord. You can put that in reverse and say a good man. A good husband comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how many fewer men we might have around, there is one for you. I hope that would have encouraged somebody today. Hallelujah. But a prudent wife is from the Lord, somebody that God has designed for you. It is from the Lord. Proverbs 18, verse 22. He who finds a wife, other versions of what, he who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. How do you find favor from the Lord after you get married? It means that this person brings something of God with her. This person comes and brings something that lurked in your life. And that is the favor of the Lord upon your life. That is the goodness of the Lord upon your life. He who finds a good wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It is a blessing to be married, because it is a union that comes from heaven, from the Father of all lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Hebrews 13, verse 4, I'm going to shower you with scripture today for us to understand that marriage is meant to be beautiful. It is created by God. But we have a responsibility. We are custodians of what God brings in our lives. What we do with what God gives us is our story. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled. For God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. The Bible says here, marriage should be honored by all. I like it because it says by all. It means that marriage should be honored by husband and wife, as well as everybody else that surrounds the marriage. So we have a responsibility as a church to protect the marriages that are around us. What it means that the way I treat a married person must be done with such care, because I don't want to be party to the destruction of their union. Does somebody hear me this morning? That is what the Bible referring to here is saying. Marriage has to be honored by all. It means all of us are responsible for ensuring that we encourage healthy marriages. I took a trip to Bloemfontein 3 weeks ago. So I was in the bus between the terminals and the plane, and I eavesdropped in a conversation. There was a guy with two other ladies, their work colleagues. They were flying down to Bloemfontein, but the following week, they were going to take a trip to the Northwest. And the lady asked this dude and says, "Hey, dude, Northwest is not too far from Gauteng. Are you going to drive in and out?" And the guy said, No. Driving in and out, chance given, it's freedom time away from my wife. I can't help it. Whenever I get a chance to be away from my wife, it's freedom time. I'll take a day or two out. And the lady started laughing over this conversation. I'm like, that's not a laughing matter, because your own husband might be saying exactly the same thing to another girl out there. That's why the Bible says marriage has to be honored by all. I would have expected this woman to say, "No, you can't say that. What if your wife is saying exactly the same thing about you behind your back?" We have a responsibility to God to protect this institution, because the enemy doesn't want it to work. And guys, this issue of removing your wedding bands when you're going on trips, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. That's your mark of commitment. You put that ring as a covenant, and wherever you go, you must shine that ring so that everybody around you knows you are not available. You are not ready for any other conversation. You know, I know there are a few guys here, but some of them are going to listen to this message. One of the things I've grown to do in my life, whenever I enter an environment, I make everybody know that I'm a happily married man. Even if I would have had a fight with my wife in the morning, I'm still a happily married man. It's just a circumstance that just happened. The circumstance doesn't define my marriage. Glory be to God. When failure happens in my life, it doesn't define me as a failure. That's not my identity. My identity is God has graced me with a beautiful marriage. And therefore, I'm not going to allow a temporary setback to define the entire institution. So, one of the sites where I go to, there's one guy who now calls me from afar. "Hey, the happily married man." Without a doubt, that guy, Musa, that's his name. Musa said, happily married man. And guess what? He's ministering to me. He's reminding me that whatever has happened this morning, you are a happily married man. Hallelujah. Guess what? Everybody around me knows that. The ladies I work with, they know I'm not available. Glory be to God. Now the question is, how do married people ought to honor their spouses? How do married people ought to honor their spouses? And I want you to realize that in marriage, honor is shown differently based on how God wired the man and how God wired the woman at creation. The Lord wired these two completely different. And that is why marriage is meant to be between a husband and a wife, between a lady and a man, because that is what is defined as marriage, biblically speaking. And for Christians, we need to make our minds around that. It doesn't matter what other ideology is being pushed. When marriage was instituted, the Bible says, and the Lord said to Adam, I will find you Eve, not Steve. Okay? We have to deal with those things at different dimensions. I'm not ridiculing anyone, but it is important for us to remain truthful to biblical principles. Glory be to God. We go through different issues in lives. We need to talk about those things. People go through different issues in life. We need to talk about it around that matter, but it cannot change the mind of heaven regarding marriage. But I should throw that out this morning. Now, the way God wired a mom and a dad is totally different. How do they honor one another? Number one, the highest level of honor that a husband can give to a wife is unconditional love. Does somebody hear me this morning? You can buy your wife toys, you can buy your wife everything else, but if it's not done through the language of love, it doesn't minister to her. The wife feels honored when everything else is punctuated by this thing called unconditional love. Does it mean that the man does not need love? The man does need love. But when God wired mom and dad, it is almost as if for a mom to feel honored, a wife to feel honored, she needs to be loved unconditionally. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. In which way? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. That I can preach the whole week. Because the way Christ loves you and I is another level of love. Very few of us can actually attain to it. In fact, nobody can attain to it unless Christ himself enables you to do it. Husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church, who gave himself up for the church. The Bible says he washes her with the word of God so that he can present her to himself pure, unwrinkled. So when I look at your wives, it speaks of how you've been ministering to her. Does somebody hear me this morning? And wives, mothers, when I look at you now, it's a picture of how the guy has been treating you. Husband, love your wives. It is quite funny because love is such a broad aspect and it doesn't come easy to men. You know, I've done a lot of marriage counseling. One of the major issues that you find when you do marriage counseling is the lack of affection from the dude. It's a lack of connection. It is a lack of being understanding. It's a lack of being present. It's a lack of communication. There is a gap. Guys are like two ships passing each other in the house. And the woman is waiting for communication. The woman is waiting for affection. And the guy is nowhere to be found. And yet the Bible says, husbands, love your wives. It means that in the absence of Christ doing a big work in our hearts, we will always fail on this job. That is why I always tell people, before you say yes to a guy, ladies, you better make sure this guy loves Jesus more than he loves you. Because if he loves you more than he loves Jesus, you are in trouble. Because there is no one who can rein him back other than Jesus. I was doing a premarital counseling yesterday, and I told them and said to these guys, I want you to understand the reason why we always tell people to do a spiritual health audit before they do their health audit, their marriage audit, is because your marriage is anchored in your relationship with Jesus. If your relationship with Jesus is not right, your marriage might not work. The reason why your husband will not cheat on you when he goes on these long trips is not because he loves you so much, it's because he fears God. His love for God says to him, how can I do such a thing to the Honorable King of Glory? And then how can I do such a thing to my lovely wife? So when the relationship between your husband or between your wife and her God is on the rock, your marriage is under threat. Does somebody hear me this morning? I'm talking about husband, love your wife. For him to be able to love you, he must love his God so much so that his God is able to deposit in him what we call the agape type of love. Amen. Let me open up the dimension of things. There are different types of love. There's filial, there's agape, there's eros. I don't know the fourth one. But many people think that marriage is sustained by the eros type of love, which has to do with affection, intimacy, lovey-dovey feelings. That's the eros, erotic type of love. Many people think that that thing has to be present for your marriage to be together to a certain degree. But I want you to know that the eros type of love is very subject to the emotional state of the person. What anchors your marriage is the agape type of love, the unconditional type of love, the love that exists between Jesus and his church, where Jesus loved the church before the church loved him. This is the covenantal type of love where you say to yourself, I will give him 100% even if you don't give me anything. Covenant love. When you have the agape type of love right at the center of your marriage, there is no wind, there is no storm that will destroy that marriage because you are anchored by that type of love. It is from that foundation that all the other type of loves can emanate. Hello? Well, I don't know if I'm going to finish today, but let's see how far we go. Are we together this morning? So yet, this is the type of love that God requires of husbands. That is how you honor your wife. It means that in every man, there is a capacity and ability to be emotional. It's just that we don't pay attention to it. It's just that we are not aware that there is a deposit, there is a well inside of us that if we open up to the Lord Jesus, he will open up that well and we're able to connect with our wives at a deeper level. God has placed it in every man, that capacity. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. In what way? Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. You are busy there praying in tongues for a business breakthrough, and yet you've been treating your wife like any other dude. Come on now, it's not going to work. Your prayers get hindered the moment your partner, the moment your wife feels aggrieved because you haven't been tender. You see, the ladies, they are weak. They are weak in the sense that they are more in touch with their emotions. They have a more delicate anatomy. Come on now. If you think about it, we look different. They are more delicate in that regard. They are more tender and delicate and less capable of enduring fatigue and toil. Less able to endure fatigue and toil. Ladies go through cycles that men don't go through. And we need to pay attention to that. At certain stage of these cycles, they have a different emotional lookout, and you need to be sensitive to that. Ladies carry that little one for 9 months, and over through the trimesters, they change. That is where the Bible says, treat them with care. Are we together this morning? That's talking about the men. Ladies, the highest level of honor that a wife can give to a husband is unconditional respect. Hallelujah. Can I hear an amen from the mothers and wives around here? The highest honor you can give to your husband, it is this thing called respect. It's built in. It's built in the man. Wanting to be put on a pedestal, so to speak. Wanting to be made feel special that there is no other man in this house. You are the man of the house. And unfortunately, there are little kings running around in our homes and terrorizing everybody. But the idea of God was that a man should be given respect that is due to him. And again, respect does not come easy for ladies. Especially in this new age of emancipation. Women's rights. We are the same. Of course we are the same. Who told you we are different? But we have different functions. Come on now. We're talking about functional subordination. It's not about equality. It's functional subordination. What do I mean by that? There are levels of authority and responsibility. When it comes to the kitchen in my house, I submit to my wife. It's her space. How she wants to do things, how she wants to pack things. It's her space. I submit. It's like the relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are equal, but they function differently. And that is where the term functional subordination comes into play. Where the Son says, I submit to the Father. As the Father does, I also do. And the Holy Spirit says, I will not say anything unless I've heard it from Jesus. And yet the Bible says they are equal, but their functions are different. This is the story between husband and wife. So, an unsaved wife really has issues with around respect. They struggle with that. Maybe you guys are different. But from my observation, if you find a lady that is not born again, that is full of the new emancipation ideology, you'd find a cantankerous woman, difficult to deal with, competing at a certain level where she should not in terms of conversation. Why? Because there's an unregenerated spirit at work. It's only when the Lord Jesus comes and breaks us down and we understand where the Bible says, humble yourself and submit to your own husband. The ability of the church to submit to Jesus doesn't just happen. It is in response to the love that Christ has towards the church. So when I love my wife so much, she does not struggle with submitting to me because it's a place of safety. Glory be to God. She won't feel subjected. She won't feel taken advantage of. She's like, this man just loves me with everything he has. I'll submit. The Bible talking about Sarah. In the book of Peter, it says, you ladies, just like Sarah said to Abraham, yes, my Lord, you ought to do the same to your own husband. You cannot say yes, my Lord, to a tyranny. It's difficult. Now, husbands can only feel honored if everything is done with respect written on it. So, so important. I've discovered that some wives find it difficult to respect their own husbands, but they find it easy to respect their pastors. They find it easy to respect their boss at work. They talk more about the bosses and their pastors to their husbands. If you want to lose your husband quick, compare him with your pastor. Compare him with your boss. Compare him with the guy you met down the road today. You're like, I don't know what type of a man you are. Let me tell you, there's this guy who bought his wife this and this and this. Listen, I'm not that guy. Leave him out of our bedroom. I don't want that guy here. And a lot of the times we do it without even thinking, yeah, like what Pastor Mike says. No, stop talking about Pastor Mike. No, let's talk here. No wonder why some guys don't want to come to church, because you talk too much about the pastor in your rooms. You're messing up stuff that should have been good. Do you hear me this morning? Papa this, Papa that, Papa those. No, Papa says this is how we should do it. No, Papa doesn't know how we should do things in this house. Hallelujah. Now, it's important. Give that guy his space in the house. You know that some guys are treated like kids at work. When he comes home, that is the only place he feels that he has got control. That is the only place he feels he owns something. Because at work he's got no desk. He is standing all day long. When he comes home, he is standing again. Aye, guys, You lose that man. Don't do that. I'm talking about respect. There is a way of communicating. There is a way of expressing our emotions. May the Lord help us to do that. Now, how about a wife who is married to an unsaved husband? How about a wife who is married to a guy who doesn't know Jesus? Oh, he's a nominal Christian. He doesn't like coming to church with you. You've been coming to church all by yourself. How do we respect those people? If you go to my messages 4 weeks ago, we spoke about authority in relation to honor. And we said you honor somebody not because of how they behave. You honor somebody because of their position. Because you said yes to him. You're excited about tying the knot with him. At that point, you gave him a position called husband in your life. And therefore, there is respect that is accorded to husbands. It is attached to the title. It's attached to their position. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3, verse 1, wives, respect and obey your husband in the same way. Then the husbands who do not obey the word of God will want to know God. They will want to know God because their wives live good lives, even though they say nothing about God. The way you live is going to determine whether that man one day would come to Jesus. Or that man will say, what I see in this house, this Jesus thing doesn't work. I'd rather stop her going to church, because she's been going to church for 6 years since we got married, but she's getting worse by the day. She's shouting louder every single day. Then what's the point? The way she spanked kids here, the way she shouted kids here, and you say I must go to church with her? No. Do you see the impact of our behavior before the unsaved has? But if the man looks at you, he comes drunk at night, you still look after him. You still love on him. He does all these funny things. You still love on him because you endure in your spirit, man. You are patient over time. There is no one who can resist love long enough. They will come to Jesus. Now, we have established two main ways in which honor should be practiced in a marriage. And those two ways are love and respect. This is how we honor each other. If we can think about everything and every action in terms of love, is this loving towards my wife? You're honoring her. If you can think of respect and say, is this a respectful way towards my husband? You're honoring them. Now, I want to take you through some practical ways in which honor can be lived out in your marriage, within the context of love and respect. It is so important that I throw in some practical things that will help you to go along. And I must say, this is not an exhaustive list, but it gets us started. It points us to some fundamentals that we might not even be aware of right now as we are doing life. How do you communicate honor to your spouse? The more we can do these simple things, the more honored, valued, and treasured your spouse will feel. So, so important. Number one, you honor your spouse by praying for them in private and in public. Remember, your safety, the safety of your children, the safety of your marriage, is very much aligned to their spiritual state. Therefore, you honor them when they become on the top list of your prayer items. When you pray for them when they go for work, when they do their business deals, you cry out to the Lord when they meet opposite sex people. You pray for them. What you're doing here, you are covering them. You're putting a wall of fire around them. And you're declaring protection over their lives. You pray for their mind. If you want, I can send you out how you should pray for your spouse. You pray for their mental state. You pray for their emotional state. You pray for their sexuality. I'm telling you, there are people who are married to a lady, but over time, the guy feels more attracted to men. And the marriage was destroyed. That's why we cannot just take things for granted. We have to pray because there's an enemy on the loose who wants to destroy this thing called marriage. Therefore, we must guard it by praying for each other. And when you pray together, lay hands on that guy. If you're not a believer, ask for permission. And let him hear you praying for him. That is how you honor your husband. If there are problems in your marriage, your first port of call should not be the pastor, should not be your mother-in-law, should be your needs. Pray first, then you can seek help. How are we doing in that front? Pray for them in private and in person. My wife is not here. She took a trip to Cape Town and she's flying back now. But she will tell you, she can tell you now, I know my husband prays for me more than anybody else. And that's my vow. Because I'm saying if I don't pray for her, Bones is not going to pray for my wife. No. I have a responsibility as the priest of the house to cover her in prayer. You have a responsibility as his helper to cover him in prayer. Because you're so close to him, you know when he is weak. You know when he is struggling. There are battles that only my wife understands, that none of you will understand. And sometimes she'll be praying there when I'm teaching the word because she knows what I'm going through back at the ranch. And that is the power of a praying spouse, the power of a praying wife, the power of a praying husband. Number two, how do you honor your spouse? You honor your spouse by keeping your word at all times. You keep your word. You've discussed, you've come up with a budget, you promised her this is what I'm going to buy you this year, and the time comes, dololo. She's like, but didn't you talk about this? But, explain. Give an explanation when you can't. Trust is broken. Every time you pull away from your promise, trust is broken. And you withdraw something from their tank. You honor them by keeping your word. I want you to know that you are as honorable as far as your words are aligned with your actions. If you promise, follow through. If you say, I'm going to help you with the kids, you better help with the kids. If you promise that I'll be praying with the kids every night, you better follow through. A lot of husbands, a lot of wives are broken because of broken promises. Number three, inform them timelessly about decisions you have made that will impact them. Inform them timelessly about decisions you have made that will impact them. You see, people of God, many times we think more about ourselves and less about the impact of our decisions on others. For instance, you've been having this struggle at work. You've been struggling with the boss. And then one day, you just decide, I'm quitting my job. You come home and you tell your wife, like, you know what, I've decided. I'm done with it. I'm hurtful. I'm not going back there. I've resigned. I've put my resignation. And the wife is there listening like, Bible. So how are we going to do this? And that, she's about to go to grade 8, new uniforms, and you're quitting. Like, no, things will work out. Have you been applying for jobs? No, not yet. I've been seeing some jobs. brother. Inform them timelessly about decisions you have made that will impact them. Tell them that this is what I'm thinking of doing. I cannot stay in that workplace. It is toxic for me. In the coming 6 months, I'm quitting. What that does, it helps you to prepare for that day. It enables you. You come home, you've bought new stilettos. The wardrobe is changed and you've got these clothes piled on the bed. 1, 2, 3, 4. And he walks in the room like, did we win a lotto? No, there was a deal at Foschini. They said if I just pay 1,000, I can get 1,000 on debt. Sister. He walks past, you know, and he's thinking, man, we have to pay this card. That is dishonoring. It will have a financial implication on them. It is dishonoring when we just make those kind of decisions without informing them timelessly. You are on medication. And I know your medications make you feel tired. And you decide, I'm not going to take them anymore. But we know the impact of you not taking the medication. Some of these decisions, you think more about yourself. We know when you don't take the medication, you are short-fused. You are very anxious. But you stop. It's important to inform them timelessly about decisions you have made that will impact them. Number four, ask for their opinion and wisdom when dealing with challenging situations in your life and work. How does she feel party to your journey if she does not even know the decisions that you have to make at work, for instance? You need to come to a place where you see her as your equal party. You see him as your equal partner. Ask for their opinion and wisdom when you're dealing with challenging situations. That is why the Bible says it is not good for a man to be alone. I will find him a helper suitable for him. You'll be amazed by the amount of wisdom that this person carries towards the decision. You see, when you solicit input from your spouse, you are communicating value. You are saying you are wise. You are intelligent. You pay attention to detail, and I need that for this decision. You know, again, I was telling these guys when I was doing premarital counseling, and I said to them, this lady here looks intelligent. She looks outward going. She looks brilliant. But the question is, down the road, after a number of years, do we see a better hair or we see a worse hair? Do we see a better version of this lady? And I want you to know that a lot of people die as soon as they get married. Why? Because there's a dude in there who is pressing them down, not speaking into their abilities, not allowing them to flex. Maybe the guy is insecure. It is honoring when you solicit input from your spouse. Number five. Avoid going ahead with major decisions without consulting them, even if it is something that does not directly involve them. You know, guys, we usually fast off the blocks. You know, we are quick to make decisions and we run with them without thinking and counting everything around us. So it is honoring when you avoid going ahead with major decisions without consulting them, even if it doesn't concern them. You know what? Today it might be your issue, but tomorrow they might have to help you pick the pieces. How many times have we had to go back as husbands and ask for help and input from our wives after we ran off with our own ideas? Today it's your idea, but tomorrow she picks the pieces. That is why it's important and honoring for you to involve her in the process so that when the day comes that you need her input, she will not say, I was never part of it. It was your idea. We can avoid so much pain and disappointment by just waiting a little bit. in order to get them in the party and say, look here, I'm with you. I think go ahead with it. You see, when you do that, that is leadership. When the thing goes off and it goes flat, she will not be able, she won't say, I told you. She'll say, it's okay, we are in this together. Does somebody hear me this morning? Number six, be honest with your feedback and communicate with love and respect. Be honest with your feedback and communicate with love and respect. Think about it. Your wife has gone and she's got this hairdo. But you can clearly see something is off with this hairdo. It doesn't look great on her. And because you're trying to be a nice husband, you pamper her, you smooch her, like, oh, you look awesome. You look good. Until one of her friends tells her, like, hey, girl, that thing is wrong, man. I think you need to fix it. All right? And we know girls talk and they're honest with one another, especially if the closeness is tight. And she comes home, like, listen, Mike, now please really tell me what you think of this hairdo. You're like, you know what? I did not want to disappoint you, but it doesn't. Hey, you lose it right there. We have to come to a place of being honest with our feedback so that she believes you next time. She takes you seriously because you say, my husband loves me and therefore he will not say anything to hurt me. He will say, what is there to build me? If we are to build trust, we have to be honest and candid with our feedback. It is so important that we get to that level of maturity in our marriage that there are no holy cows. There are no high places we cannot go to. We must be able to give each other firm, candid feedback that enables us to be better. Do you know why you need to do this? Your spouse depends on your honest feedback in order to improve themselves, in order to get back, to get better in what they do. My wife gives me feedback after preaching. You know, she's like, I don't think that statement was on. You should not have said it. I become defensive sometimes, but sometimes I receive it. Because I know her intention is not to judge my preaching. Her intention is to make me better. And, you know, as a man, sometimes I don't agree at that point. But deep down in my heart, I will make sure that I don't do it. Because I know she's right. Come on now, maybe I'm the only one who needs prayer. But as guys, we've got this ego. Sometimes we don't want to be told stuff. But your wife means well. So, so important. Small items, but they make a difference in our walk together in our marriages. Number seven, let them know when you're coming home late from work. Why should she know? Is she stalking me? Doesn't she trust me? Why should I even tell her when I'm coming late? No, dude. This is not about control. It's about care. It's about placing value on your spouse. This is me and my wife. When I leave home, when I get to work, I tell her, I've arrived at work. I've arrived at work. When I leave work, I say to her, honey, I'm leaving work and I'm coming home. And the day that I don't do it, she checks, where are you? Is everything okay? It's not because she doesn't trust me. It's because we have built a safety net around us so that nobody has to worry about safety, about what's going on. Is everything okay? Why should she worry about my whereabouts? For what intents and purposes? What am I trying to achieve? I believe some of those small things are so honoring when you tell your wife, I'm leaving work. So sometimes I leave work. She knows if I leave work at 4:30 and it's a 1.5 hour drive, at a certain point, I should be getting home. And she sees 20 minutes, I'm not home. She phones. Is everything fine? Are you safe? Man, she's not controlling. She is caring. So it's how you want to see these things. You can call her a nagging, nagging wife, or you can call her a caring, caring wife. It's how you want to term it. Does somebody hear me this morning? Let them know when you're coming home late from work. We have a tradition in our house, 6 p.m. we have supper together. 6:30 we eat together as a family. So if I'm running late, she needs to know, can she go ahead and eat with the kids? That's a decent thing. I do a lot of training, so I tell her, I'm phoning, don't wait for me because when I get home, I'll be doing my training. So communication means you're placing value on somebody's time, you're placing value on their emotional state, you don't want to take advantage of them, and guess what? It builds them up. Because of time, I'm going to try and rush through this and I'll be done with you. Number 8, be fully present when they're speaking to you. Hey. Aha, be fully present when they're speaking to you by bringing yourself into the conversation. Nod your head. Look at her straight in her eyes. Say, I hear you. Is this what you're trying to say? That makes sense. How did that make you feel? You are engaging them in their conversation and you're saying to them, your conversation matters to me. Your attention matters to me. It is so important. So you communicate honor when you are fully present in a conversation. Your spouse matters and what they are saying is of great importance. Gadgets. Phones. You are having a date, but you're on Facebook. How so? You're busy scrolling down Instagram. You're taking photos not to cherish the moment, but to show the world. So you're more intimate with the world more than you are with your spouse. So your spouse wants you to be present when they are talking to you. It is more stronger on the lady's side. Number 9, don't take advantage of their good nature, but honor them by giving them a break on some of their chores. You see that lady there, she's vacuuming, baby in the hand, looking after the dog poo and everything. The guy is on his phone launching, daddy has come from work. Hasn't she been working the whole day? You see, by nature, mothers, wives are homemakers. But it doesn't mean that they cannot do with help. So you are a dude who likes his house to be spick and span. You don't like dirt. You don't like the sink to be left uncleaned over the night. You put pressure on your wife because she hasn't done all of that. This place looks like a pigsty. You're coming back from home, from work. How about, say, honey, can I help you with the dishes? Can I help you with this? And then you have what you're looking for. For me, I don't like dirty places. So I don't mind cleaning the floor. I don't mind doing the dishes. Why? Because it speaks to me. Whenever I see the sink not well, something in me reels up. Okay? So I don't mind helping my wife with those things. And gents, I want to encourage you. If you want something in your house, make it happen. So important. We know the guy cleans the car. He fuels the car. How about helping him from time to time? Send the car to valet and say, honey, don't worry about the car. It's already cleaned. Does somebody hear me this morning? Don't take advantage of their good nature. Number 10, this is a biggie. Ensure that they are the first to be informed about any good news. Inform them first. Whether you've been promoted, whether there's a business deal that is coming, whether something is happening in your sport, whatever, let them feel special that they are the only ones who occupy a certain position. I mean, have you ever had a situation where the guy talks about something to his friends and he hasn't said anything to you? And you'll be the sixth person to know after everybody else has been told. So I don't know if you guys know Pastor Paul, but me and Pastor Paul are very close and we talk hours on the phone. So there are times where he would have had a business deal and he phones, Mike, I've got some good news for you. But before I tell you, let me tell Tracy first and I'll phone you back. I'm like, but okay, so why did you phone me? You know? Okay. But that's what we do. So he says, Michael, I'll tell you. It's a juicy story. Let me tell Trace first and I'll get back to you. And then after an hour, he phones like, now I can tell you. I've just told my praise. You know? What is it? He's communicating honor. He's like, he's saying, I want my wife to be the first one to celebrate with me before, yes, you're my best friend, but she comes first. And when your wife knows that she comes first, she knows that she's got a place where no other lady occupies. You communicate honor that way. Oh, glory to God. Let me give you the last one. I had 12, but I'll just do the last one. I think this one is important to finish off. Inform them of your movements through the day, particularly any interactions with people of the opposite sex. This is your safe zone. This is your safe zone, gents and ladies. Let them know. Imagine me, I'm there having lunch with, let me give you an example, with Michelle. Down the road there, we're having coffee and tea. And I mean, it's an innocent chat, an innocent conversation. We're talking about what we want to do, whatever. And then Kefula sees me. And then Kefula phones my wife, like, first of all, I'm just checking. I saw your husband with Michelle. Do you know that it will just throw her off if she did not know that there was a planned meeting with Michelle? It will, even if it's an honest coffee time, but imagine if Kefula phones Mom Ruth and Mom Ruth says, I know about it. He just told me already. That protects your marriage. It protects the church. It protects your integrity. The moment you start hiding your engagement with the people of the opposite sex, you've opened a certain caveat that is unsafe. The moment you start deleting certain messages from your phone, you know you're on a slippery slope. Your wife, your husband, not that they are snooping, but if a message pops up, they should be able to read it. But the day you start deleting history, you know something is, talk to a friend. Pick the phone and say, listen, I've got a problem. And there's help on the way. Does somebody hear me this morning? How do you honor your spouse? I want us to pray. I know that was a mouthful. I hope you got something this morning. And I've given you a few tips on how you can honor your spouse. If you are not married, I want you to pray for marriages today. And that the Lord would just grace his people with sound mind regarding marriage. I want us to pray for protection. If you are married, maybe there's an area you need to ask help from the Lord. Ask him today. He's going to help you. He will strengthen you. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning. Lord, I've taught your word today. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that our marriages will be strengthened. That, Lord, would move from glory to glory. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your hand would be present in these institutions. Father, we admit to our weaknesses and our flaws, but your grace is sufficient. This morning, I pray that your grace would cover each one of us, that honor would return, Lord, in our institutions. Let honor come back, Lord, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says marriage has to be honored by all. Your word says, husbands, honor your wives. The same applies to wives. I pray today for grace. I pray for your hand. Father, do what you alone can do. Lord, strengthen us, O God. Father, we give you glory this morning. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Man.